begin. Tessayin Mudbeis. We saw the Mishnah last week, but just to recap, let's see the beginning of this Mishnah so we're familiar with the Gemara there afterwards. The Mishnah says that Rochatz Laila Harishon, okay, see the Mishnah, that the beginning of this Mishnah says that he, specifically referring to Rabbi Gamliel, washed on the first night, Shemesa Ishto, that his wife died. And his Talmidim did not understand this. After all, they said that an Avel is Aser Lirchotz. So how is it possible that you did this? And he said, it's not a big deal. After all, Eni Kisharbani Adam Istanis Ani. I'm a very dainty,
finicky
person. So I'm allowed to bathe, even though I'm in the status of Aninus. Now, the Gemara
that's
says...
Man Chama, right? That's just Man Chama?
Yes, we saw that the Mepharshim said it's specifically hot water. And we also saw this Tosfos, which was bothering you, right, that said specifically it's for Tainuk, right? Something which... You're not allowed to do things which are specifically
pleasurable.
Exactly. That's the second Tosfos.
Is there a difference, though, between Aninus and Avelus as far as washing is concerned?
Between what? Aninus
and
Avelus?
Avelus.
Well, Avelus is referring to beyond the time of an Onei, which let's say during the time of Shiva.
No, but I'm saying, what about as far as washing is concerned? Would there be any difference?
You mean you would think an Onei could wash?
I'm saying an Onei as opposed to Avelus. Is it easy? Is it more stringent? Less stringent?
There are those we're going to see. We're going to see there's a dispute exactly how long a person is an onein and whether or not it's a din deraisa, whether it's only it's midrabanan.
Because based on what the Mishnah is saying, we don't know if he was an onein or he was an avel already. Because Rachat Vaila Rishon Shemesa Ishta doesn't say she was kavur,
right,
or she could have been, but we don't know this. That's what I'm trying to say. That's what I'm saying. Would there be a difference between aninus and avelus as far as rachitz is concerned? Because the Mishnah is vague, it didn't say. Rachat Laila Rishon Mesa and Kavra Ishto, so we don't know. But she could have been Kavra because we know we try to bury as soon as it happens.
So let's see this top Rashi then, okay? Rashi, because it is pretty vague, it's not very clear. Right. So she was already buried.
According to Rashi.
Right.
We don't know that. The Mishnah doesn't mean I'm not gonna dispute Rashi.
This is how Rashi interprets that this is the situation.
But would there be a difference in halacha? That's what I'm trying as far as washing after Avelus or Aninus. Is there Sam today, a person that aren't not allowed to bathe? Are you allowed to bathe?
Person is not allowed to bathe, correct.
In either situation.
In either situation, that's correct. So we're apparently there's, as one distances themselves from the time of the Kvura, whatever, there we're going to be more makel, more lean to be lenient, which apparently, you know, even Rabbi Gamliel would not have bathed that day. He waited. Right. He waited apparently specifically for that night.
Right.
That night. But even that apparently is an issue, which is what we're going to see in the Gemara. Okay. Good evening. We're up to the Gemara now, Tessai and the Beis. That was just the Mishnah, that part, which we need to see. So Gemara's not very happy with this. My time did Rabbi Gamliel. It's not Rosh Hashanah. It's my time of Rabbi Gamliel. What is the reason for Gamliel? So if we look at Rashi over here, we're going to see that the problem of this whole idea is that he still should be an Onein, according to at least the Havamina of the Gemara, for a period of 24 hours, the Esel Ace. And therefore, even though the Kvura was that night before, that shouldn't, the day before, that should not be enough. He should still be considered to be an Onein and that he cannot bathe. So the Gemara says, we're going to see these Rashis in a moment, as well as the Tosfos explaining this, that the Gemara answers, again, how is he allowed to do this, that Rabbi Gamliel held Ksavar Aninus Laila Durabana. He felt that the whole idea of being an Onein that next night was only Midurabana. Even if you want to say that an Onein is Me'esel Asis for 24 hours, however, the reality is he felt that after that day and after the Kvura has been complete, that night is no longer midyaraisa. We'll see where where it's diyaraisa, the union of an onin. Anyway, we'll see that in Rashi in a second. But why is there, does he distinguish between day and night if it's within the same 24-hour period of time? Dechsev, because what does it say in the pasuk? It says it almost. Dachrisa kiyomar. It says that it's a bitter day. Why does it say it's a bitter day? Probably because it's dafka day.
By night already changes.
Right, night it changes. So therefore, the whole Indian of being an onin diraisa, as we have this pasuk in Nah, is only during the day. And therefore, now that there's a din derabanan, at least, maybe to of an onin, that one should not bathe, it's only derabanan. So when we get to derabanan already, we can be a little more makel, we can be more lenient. That's what the Gemara says. V'makom istanisul gazru b'rabanan. Because we're dealing over here with a person who is very dainty and finicky, such as Rabbi Gamliel, he is more lenient because now the law is midrabanan. So let's look at Rashi. Rashi says like this: Ksavar aninus leila derabanan. That Rabbi Gamliel was of the opinion, or on the Rashi, the third line on the top, Tes Zayin Amud Beis. Tes Zayin Amud Beis. Okay. Ksavar aninus leila derabanan. So, Be'af al pi, even though Shaul Laila Yom Hamisa was the night after the day that she died, which also she was buried the same day that she died, as Rashi said before, the Ksiva, and it's written explicitly in the Torah that Aninus B'Araisa, that the Din Onen is actually a Torah bound law. The Ksiv, the Pasuk says, in Sefer Devarim, Lo Ochalti B'Oni Mimenu. The Pasuk says that I did not eat it while I was an Oni, which is a state of Aninus. And this is in Parshas Kisavo, which is part of the vidui that a person gives, that is recited about giving Bikurim and the law, these specific laws of Truma and Mice and things of that nature, that it had to be eaten at a state of not a state of being an onin. So we see there's a pasuk explicitly mentioning the idea of an onin. So therefore, we find there's an inyan of this level of mourning midyaraisa. Okay. Now Rashi continues and says, "Upachos miyom echad enu aninus. Less than one day is not aninus. The alfi rabbanon, because we learn out mevakriusa kiyomar." And the pasuk says, as we quoted in the answer, that it was a bitter day. Ksavar, what does Rabbi Gamliel hold? Ein laila she'acharav im hayom el midrabanan. The fact that the next night should really be connected to it, because it should be a 24-hour span, but the reality is, based on that other pasuk, it's only midrabanan. Because after all, the pasuk specifies the day. Who kishar yimei ha'avil, and therefore after, this is kind of what you're talking about, that once it's no longer that day, the day of the kfura, that next night is comparable to all the other days of avelus, which means that there's a din derabanan of not bathing. Right? That's how we're.
But onin is just your concern with bathing.
In this particular situation.
But the question of aninus could be longer than a day.
Right, if it, until he's buried.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying.
It's a night.
Right, sometimes.
Right. It's Isaac from Mace, right?
Right.
Rabbana, the Torah, or just the Rabbana?
This is Derisa talking about, right? The status of an onen.
But onen is speak, here is speaking about bathing. But general onen is up to the kfura.
Right.
Right.
But it could be longer than a day. Sometimes the body is in Israel. They're here. You got to wait till they're but you're an onin the whole time from the time you get.
But sir, I was heard that an onin could, if it's a parent, if it's a parent.
Yes,
for the seven
krovim. Right, there's seven krovim, right?
Yes.
And each one would be considered an onin.
The person in the.
Let's say
person
in California.
Yeah.
And the guy's not.
Before the Kavura we're talking about? If it's one of those seven direct relatives.
No matter what it is.
Yeah.
There's certain those halachos apply to you, you know.
No,
wherever you are.
All the other stuff is
wherever you are, those laws apply to you. I mean, this particular example, which is not the only case is talking about rechitza, because this was the issue that they saw Rabbi Gamliel bathing the night after his wife died.
You can't put on tefillin as an only eat, correct? So the point is, let's say the person dies in Israel, and you're here, and you got to wait till you get to, or if it could take you 48 hours, you can't get on a flight. That whole time you're on Enos, you can't do any of these halachas, right? It's not limited to a 24-hour period.
48 hours?
Oh, I know. It happened in my family, where somebody was, they waited for the sun was in the air, and Israel, the body did.
I want to ask you a better one, Rabbi. What did they do when we had these, right?
That's a different people spent.
They couldn't bury bodies.
They couldn't bury bodies for.
Remember Shara Walter? So what about his wife sat shiva for an hour? That was it. What kind of item? I remember Shara. That's a perfect example.
That was after the burial?
The Levaya was Erev Pesach.
Oh, okay.
So the Levaya was Israel.
The son went to Eretz Yisrael. But she was finished. She was no item anymore.
But that's because
that's when the plane. You're not anointing from when the plane takes off, right?
There's different. What, for Israel or talking about Israel?
For Israel, yes.
She sat shiva for an hour outside the night at the funeral.
It was after the actual burial.
Before the actual burial.
He went there to Israel.
Oh. But the remains left. Uh huh. But they paskin that since the remains left on the plane, therefore that was considered
was
no longer.
You're not a 9
anymore. That's what I'm saying. I can't see a guy being a 9 for 48 hours because he has to go there to Israel. Doesn't make sense.
No, but he can't be. If let's say you wait.
I would say, just hypothetical. Let's say they all strike for 2 days,
yes,
and the plane couldn't take off. Is that person still considered 9? The 7 people.
That's the idea is. It's mace
with
the
mace.
Right. Right. So it's as though the mace is actually in front of you, so to speak.
Right.
So you know, until the kfura, you know, obviously it depends on the amount of time. Probably at more than a couple of days, which maybe
that's a different. That's an odd situation. It's not a normal situation.
Absolutely. This is at least according going back over here the way Rabbi Gamliel felt. That after the first day, that next night already loses the din d'oraisa, and therefore it's already considered to be min rabbanan, and therefore once it's d'rabbanan, there's room to be meikel. Now we're going to see that not everyone agrees to this. Actually, if we look and continue in this Rashi says v'gaba istanis l'gozer rabbanan, which is what Rabbi Gamliel felt, and plutaihu. The Tanoi hi bezvachim. It's actually a machlokus whether or not the whole inyan of a ninus at night is midraban deraisa. The Gemara bezvachim, as Rashi concludes, says bi'aninus laila ib midraisa midrabanan. So it's a machlokus. Obviously, Rabbi Gamliel is on the opinion that it's midrabanan, because if it was deraisa, it doesn't make a difference. You're an istanis. So what? You don't have a right to break Torah law because you're finicky. You need to take a hot bath because of your issues. And again, going back to what istanis was, there's a machlokus, but Tosis basically said he needed it because otherwise he'd be batsar. It would be he'd be in pain. It's not that he just enjoys taking a nice bath, right? It's that otherwise his makeup, the way he is, it would have caused him tremendous anguish not to have bathed. So according to the opinion, it's considered to be a derabanan. Now, Tosus actually doesn't even agree to any of this business. Now, according to the opinion of Rashi, the reading of Rashi is that an onain is deraisa, because after all, there's a pasuk which says this. After all, how could you deny it? The pasuk says, l'chalti ba'oni mimenu. So apparently there's a din deraisa when it comes to an onain. It's only that there's a machlokus that next night, whether or not it continues being deraisa, or the Rabbanan. Now, Tosus doesn't agree to this. Look at this Tosus, which is Tosus number 3. Aninus Laila de Rabbanan. Right. V'im Tom, you want to ask the question, V'hari Onin Nami Enu Noig Ella B'Meister. He says that this Pasuk over there is not talking about an Onin with regard to taking a bath. Right? That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about specifically with regard to Meister, which is over there in Parshas Kisavo. Right? It talks about Bikurim and Meister. It says that you did not you were not involved in the consuming of eating meiser while you were an onin. That's what it's talking about. So according to Tosfos, he is of the opinion that the din of an onan is only derisive with regard to eating meiser. But really when it comes to bathing, even on the first day, there's no din derisa. There's no such din derisa. It's always derabanan. Aninus, according to Tosfos, is always derabanan. It says, Avul in rechitza, diavelos derabanan hu. Right? That's what Tosfos holds, which again is not like what Rashi holds. Rashi holds that the first day is derisa. Tosfos holds, no, it's always derabanan. The Pasuk says it's derisa. That's talking about meiser. Exactly. It's not talking about the avelos that we're familiar with. Beim kein, continuing it, that's the really the key of that Tosfos. Let's finish it. The imkain olam emel chalroel always tell you deninus lila diraisa habi gabi meiser, because it's possible that when the pasuk says lochalti v'oni mimen, it was talking about meiser and it's diraisa, and that could be day and it could be the night too. But the problem over here is our Gemara is not talking about Rabbi Gamliel eating meiser. Rabbi Gamliel, the issue was him bathing. What?
Kohen.
The Kohen, the Levi.
Okay, so we're speaking here of Kohen and the Levi.
Yes.
What happens to Yisrael? If the Torah is only speaking about Kohen and Levi, okay?
Yeah.
By the Yisrael.
The Yisrael, there's no derisa.
There's no derisa.
There's no derisa.
It's only talking about Kohen and the Levi over
right.
there.
Correct.
The Yoyne.
Right.
Yeah, but
exactly.
The Yisrael.
Exactly.
What was Rabban Gamliel? It was the Yisrael.
No, but
correct, and even
he's talking Kohen Levi Yisrael. Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel doesn't refer just to Kohen Levi Meiser.
He was referring to himself.
Rabbi Gamliel himself bathed while he was in a velus. He took a bath.
Because
the kasha is, how could he have done such a thing? So Tosfos holds it's the rabbanon, not just the night, which is the case of our Mishnah's Rachatz Laila Harisha. The truth is, he could have taken that bath the second after she was buried that day. Masa Shahaya, it happened to be, he took a bath that night. You know, he went home that night and he took a bath. The truth is, according to Tosfos, it doesn't make a difference. And that's what Tosfos concludes. He says, V'yesh lomar, de'isa, de'havi de'raisa, gabi meiser, only by meiser. Gabi shar devarim, derabanan nami havalon. Well, Ming said, the whole tikkun rabanan came derisa tikkun. The truth is, that even though you can't say it's merely midrabanan, because there's no such thing as merely midrabanan, any din derabanan, it has a kain derisa tikkun, because it has a makar, there's a source to a Torah concept. There is, the pasuk does say there's an onan, which is the pasuk's derisa. It's not talking about the Israel, not talking about him bathing, but the fact is, it's kain derisa. The reality is, it's not something you want to break. But the reality is, according to Rabbi Gamliel, it was always derabanan, and therefore it's not an issue. And in fact, in halacha, you can imagine the machlokas. According to Rabbi Haigon holds not only the day or the night is deraisa, but all 7 days of Shiva, Rabbi Haigon holds, is there's a din deraisa that one is not allowed, all the laws of the velos is deraisa. However, the Mishnah Brura is Makel. It's, you know, there's room to be Makel, because the Mishnah Brura holds like Tosfos, that he holds that not only the night, like Rabbi Gamliel, is Derabanan,
nothing,
but all.
Everything is. Aninus is the Derabanan.
He holds, that's right, he holds, and certainly the days of Shiva. The days of Shiva are Derabanan. So therefore, there's certainly room to be Makel, as Rabbi Gamliel was, because he was an Istinus. Okay. Vayikra. Move on, okay? Ukishmeis tavi avdo. That's what the next Gemara says. Medium-sized line. Now, what's this case? So let's go back to the Mishnah. There's three cases in our Mishnah. So the Mishnah, going back to our Mishnah, says something else that Rabbi Gamliel did, which was out of context. Ukishmeis tavi avdo. Strange that when his servant died, kibulav tachanun tanchumim, he accepted supplications and condolences. So the Mishnah, again, the students asked, what do you mean? She'ein mekablin tanchumim al havanim. You're not supposed to accept on slaves. So how were you able to do so? So Rabbi Gamliel again has another excuse. He said, ein tavi avdi kishar kol havanim kosher hayu. He's not your typical slave. Kosher, he's a worthy person. So he said, according to one pshat, Rabbi Gamliel actually knocked out his tooth, and therefore he felt that he should go free. There are some opinions that felt, as we said, that since he was motiv knas, he admitted without the witnesses first saying that he knocked out a tooth, therefore that's not enough. When it comes to a knas, a penalty, the witnesses have to say before you admit to it. Rabbi Gamliel didn't hold like that. Therefore, he felt kosher because he was allowed to marry kosher lubava kahal. He was allowed to marry a Jew. That's what he said. I'm allowed to because he's not really an Evan. That's one answer. The other answer what we saw is based on the words of Tosfos. Tosfos, which is really jumping, but we saw this because it's all connected. Ein om d'malehim b'shur. So last, the little Tosfos says, why, as we're going to see in the Gemara, do we have certain restrictions that we will not allow certain things, including setting up a row, right? Which is what, after the Kvura.
Yeah, they set up rows, keep the Aveil and walk between the rows.
Right. So Tosfos says, what's the big deal? Why can't we do that for an Evid? Why is that such a problem? Dilma Asli Lasuki Liyuchsin. That what? Maybe you're going to start getting involved in Yuchsin, in pedigree, in family. You'll start thinking that this Evid is talking
about marrying him off.
Right. Well, you can't marry him off
because
he's dead.
But his kids. Right.
Exactly. So, because if you're showing no distinction between this guy and a Jew, so he must be a Jew. Must be a Jew. So what's the answer? So what we saw, according to the Beis Yosef, that what does it mean, Rabbi Gamliel's servant Kasher Haya, is because everyone knew who he was. And everyone knew exactly his status. Everyone knew this was Rabbi Gamliel's Eved. And therefore, no one would have ever mistaken him to have said, oh, this guy is actually a Jew. This person, you can marry Tavi's kids. And saying it a little bit better, when the Mishnah said Kasher Haya, it means that he is someone that knows his place. He was not someone who acted beyond who he really was. He acted as a slave, and therefore no one would have ever mistaken him as a regular Yid, as a Jew. And therefore, for that reason, Rabbi Gamliel said, I'm allowed to accept Tanchum. Okay. With that said, let's move on. Let's see. So that's the Hakdama to this next piece of the Gemara. Ukshmeis Tavi Abdel says the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanu, Avadim Shvachos Ein Omdim Aleihin Beshura, which we just saw in Tosfos, you're not allowed to set up a row for them. And if we look in that, we're just going to keep jumping back into Rashi. He helps us out over here, which we're pretty familiar with this case anyway, we just said it. Rashi says, Ein Omdim Aleihin Beshura, okay, see the Rashi? Kishachozrim Mibes HaKvaros, which is what you said, right? You come back from the cemetery. So you make rows.
In the cemetery now,
it's
not in the cemetery.
It's not when
you close there. It's when you come back from after the body is buried.
Returning away from the...
Right.
You might think it's when you're coming home, but it takes place right in the cemetery.
That's probably the better reading of Rashi is that you're coming, you just finished the court. Right, you're departing from. Right. So that you made these rows for the Avel, umanachmanoyis, and then you right. The ain shor b'chusa me'asar, and I'm not sure why he adds this little halacha over here. You cannot do less than 10. You have to have at least a minimal of a quorum. You have to have a minion in order to be able to create these rows.
Why don't they say you need a minion for kvura, not a minion for? What happens if Paki don't have a minion? So you don't make a
shura? Yeah, apparently so.
Well, don't you say when you say Kaddish, though?
You don't. Well, you don't
have without a minion, for sure.
The whole minion is probably
Kaddish. You're saying a minion, I don't know, to see the reasoning to having a minion by Rabbi Menachem Abel. What are you meaning from Menachem Abel?
Probably the minion of making a shura less than 10 is probably a lack of of kavod, the fact that you have like two, this and this.
But if you don't have it, what is the purpose? The purpose is to be Menachem Abel.
I'm not sure if it says you can't be Menachem Abel, but you cannot actually physically make this line. You can't do this procedure, this ceremony.
What is the significance of the line?
What's the significance of the Bukhal, you're saying, in general?
Yeah, you're saying, one, I say, to be Menachem Abel less than a minion. So you said to me, about covet, if it's not a shura,
So they don't have a shir. I'm not Menachem Bavel, they don't have a shir.
Yeah.
No. I don't see, you know, I don't see the, maybe the common sense of it.
Of what? Why there's a...
The purpose of the shir.
What's the purpose of the shir?
Because you saying, it seems like the purpose of the shur is in order to be able to face the avil and to be menachem avil. That's what it seems like. The whole purpose is to console them. But apparently, there's a bigger Indian than just
I
than
think
just
there's
that.
More
there must be.
Than what we're,
correct. There has to be something else.
Because they're making some kind of differentiation here.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting that Rashi brings this down because it seems to really have.
I think the point is that don't you say Kaddish at that time when you go by the shur?
But
you need the minion to say Kaddish.
You say the Kaddish before.
There's no minion.
Say Kaddish.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. So a minion I don't need. So but you're saying you need a minion for a shura.
What are you saying? The hilt. If you don't have, you don't have.
Yeah, but he said, let's say you didn't have a minion
if
first.
You don't
let's
have
say you had nine men. But listen to me. You had nine men, so you don't make a shura. You're not enough of them.
You can be menachem. You should be able to
menachem.
I would assume you could do it.
But Rebut says.
That's what he says.
Rashi says again only that you cannot make a shura.
Sure. That doesn't mean you can't be the menachem.
Yeah, so it doesn't have an official stamp.
Okay. Right. Yeah. Also, would come up to say pachot me'asara. Does the asara then mean asara gvarim, or could that be?
Presumably.
Of course. Depends.
Women are not considered the count.
Depends on what shul. If you're done by Marjorie, 10 men and women would be the same.
No, I'm saying for shura.
For shura.
No,
they have them for a minion. How they'll have them for a shura?
All right.
They don't say pachot minyan, they say pachot me'asara.
That's, I mean, it's like that.
Well,
that's
topic. When
those days, second
class. It's a question, right. But it's not that same meaning. If it's supposed to be having enough people there, so it doesn't look like a pathetic looking line.
Okay, let's move on. So that procedure, that ceremony, is not done for slaves. Continues the Gemara. The Ein Omer Malehen Birchas Avelin. We also do not say Birchas Avelin. Let's just see the next two words, as well as v'tanchumei aveilim. So we do not console or say this as some type of a bracha. So let's look at Rashi. What are these two things? What's birchas aveilim? What's tanchumei aveilim? Whatever they are, we do not do them for an avel, for an eved. Says Rashi, birchas aveilim. Okay, what is this bracha? Birchas racham. This is referring to a bracha that was said in the public square. This is what's the Suda's Havra, right? The first meal, the Suda Rishona, that is presented to the person who is an Avelus, Michelle Acherim, Mavarchinan Shom Berchas Avelim. Over there, there's a special bracha, Vihi Mefereshes Beksuvos Perik Rishon. It doesn't even specify over here what the bracha is, to look over in Ksuvos, which we're not going to do. What's that?
The Birkas Avelim. It's especially by the Bavai of Yitzchak, Avraham.
Yes.
It says that Hashem is Mubarak as Yitzchak, the Birkas Avelim, Rashi says.
So there's a special bracha that's instituted. And also Tanchumi Avelim, Rashi doesn't even get into, because presumably we're familiar with what that is. So, now let's see a little story. Maseh Meseh Shemchasr Shul Rabbi Eliezer. So Rabbi Eliezer, Nebuch is... maidservant passed away. So what could you assume? You could assume that no one is going to be not going to be saying Shiva, nothing. And people are certainly not going to be consoling him. So Nichnasu Talmida Menachmo. Nebuch, his students, he taught them these halachas. Nonetheless, the students knocked on his door to console him. Kivan Shirosam, once he saw them and he knew their intentions had to have been for this, because otherwise, why do they come dafka here in this specific place, specific time? So once he saw them, olaliyah, he went up to the attic. He went upstairs, obviously to avoid them, to hide. Because after all, he knew their intentions. So what did they do? Did they get the hint?
No.
V'olachara. They went after him. Nichnasu anpiloi. Then, because you know he saw him, they're chasing after. They went to the anpiloi, and Rashi calls this a bias katan. Shalifnei Tarklin Hagadol before a larger banquet room, which is what?
An anteroom.
He went to, right? So he went to this room, hoping that entity.
They wouldn't follow
it. Yes, unfortunately, nichnasu acharav. Really not getting the hint. Nichnasu with charklin, the nichnasu acharav. He went into this bigger room and continuing, his students are following. So they kind of cornered him, and before they had the opportunity to console him, he said the following. I was initially hoping that I would be able to burn you with lukewarm water. Yeah, just a very small, subtle hint. But now I see, even if I pour the scalding, boiling hot water over your heads, you're still not going to get the point. Obviously, there was a reason why you were not able to see me. I kept running all over the place. Didn't I teach you these halachos? Were you doing sleeping on me at the class? I taught you. So what on earth are you doing by chasing after me? You're not supposed to console me. So what should be said to the person who has lost their maidservant? The same thing you would say a person Nebuch lost their... Or maybe nowadays a person loses their dog. Right? A dog dies. Shemesu, what do you say? Hamakum yimalilcha chesroincha. That Hamakum Hashem should fill up your loss. Kachorimlo al abdovam shivchaso hamakum yimalilcha chesroincha. Hashem should fill your loss. That's what you should say. So the kasha is, these are human beings. So how could the great Rabbi Eliezer compare them to a donkey, to a shor, to an animal? It's disrespectful. But that's the whole vote of what Tosus is saying. The problem is that when you have an eved and a shivcha, and as we've known, that the way you're supposed to treat an eved, you're not supposed to treat him like dirt. You treat him nicely, right? So what could the perception be? This person has been living in your house for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. You start thinking...
As a human.
Not only as a human, but a member of your house. So much so that when they die, the Gemara actually has to tell us the Chiddush, do not mourn them. What do you mean don't mourn them? We just mentioned before, who do you mourn for? The Zion Krovim. Why would you mourn for an Eved? Why would you mourn for a Shivcha? They're not related to you. But since you have such an incredibly close bond with them, we have to make that distinction. And therefore, not Chas V'Shalom, everyone is calling them much animals. But he's saying that if we allow you to console me in the same way you would console my own child, then what are people going to think about this Shivcha? They're going to think that this is not a Jew, this is a kosher, this is a regular person, a regular Jew. And therefore, because of that, you have to make these distinctions. And do not do any more than you would for the loss of an animal. Okay, so it's an important halacha. A lot of times people, they ask the rabbi, my dog died. Is there a prayer to say, right? So the answer is that there 100% is. You're supposed to say, And certainly, if someone would ask such a shayla, and it's obviously an emotionally difficult time, you should not console them, because if you console them, you're treating an animal on the same madrig as a human being. So you have to be careful not to, to be sensitive on one hand, but on the other hand, not to overdo it. Okay, let's move on. Tani idach. We learn furthermore in another brisa. That when it comes to these slaves, a male slave, a maid servant, you are not allowed to
make a hesped.
You are not allowed to eulogize for them. Rabbi Yossi Omri says, not so fast. Im eved kashrehu. What if it's a really very good eved, a good person? In that case, maybe we could give a hesped. And what would be an appropriate hesped that can be said? Again, not to overdo it, but this is what you said. Omrim, a love you can say upon him as follows. Habi ish tov, he was a good man. V'nemon, truthful, trustworthy. V'nehen demigio, one who worked very hard for a living. He worked for his own with his own bare hands. A very hard-working, good man. So that much you can say. So Amrullah, on this they say back, to him. Im kain, if that's so, mahi nachlo chsher? What are you leaving for everyone else? That was a beautiful hesped. That's a nice hesped to give to a regular. So again, to be careful not to give the exact same as you would to a regular Jew. So to be very sensitive to that. So what's the big deal? So in halacha, it's brought down very clearly that the dangers of a hesped. The dangers of a hesped is that one is not allowed to say a ki hu zeh more than is the emes. If you say more than is the truth about that person who had passed, it's considered to be a complete busha for that, for the mace. The mace who is overhearing what's happening at the time of the hesped and is hearing all these great things, like, who are you talking about? it's not me. Yeah, you got the wrong guy. And it's a big problem.
Where does it say that's what they say, that a mess hears his hesped?
Yes, I've heard that.
They said that the Shama hovers, certainly it's on the Kura. Shiloh's about exactly more than that. But even if it wouldn't be the case, but to speak things which aren't true, you know, for other reasons. But Chazal is very, very clear how dangerous it is to give a hesped, which is a big problem. What's the big problem? The big problem is if you mamash have no idea who this person is. You don't have a clue who this person is. So to make things up, forget about the fact that the people who are present, who know, are thinking, what the heck is this guy talking about? But let's say, you're in a community, you're in an environment where no one knows this person. So you have to be very careful. There's no one that will know the difference. There's only three people there, right? You have to give a hesped, you give a graveside, but you have to be very careful not to say anything which is not the emes. Okay. All right, which takes tremendous sensitivity. All right. Tanu Rabbanan. Let's see the next two dots, and then we'll stop. We have 6 more minutes. We stop at 7:15 promptly. Tanu Rabbanan. Ein karen avos elo l'shlosha. We only call 3 people avos, which is very interesting that Rashi actually points out who these 3 are. Rashi says Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, but Rashi does help us out and say lafuki shvatim, not the shvatim, the tribes of Israel. That much we're not going to call them our avos.
We never call them the avos. The avos are, we're always Avram, Yitzchak. Why would we think this is the shvatim? Where would he come up with that?
Well, they represent. Well,
why not?
We say Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. We don't talk about Elokei.
In some cases in the government, they do mention them.
As avos?
Yeah, why not? Well, where do we come from?
We come Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. You David, you see Shmo and Esri. You see Rabbi Shimon and Levi.
But who are Yaakov's children? The Shvatim.
Yes.
So we do come from the Shvatim. So what's the dip? Why they're also our father?
We come closer from the Avram.
That's correct.
But they were on the same
Madrigal. So that's the Gemara. That's what the Gemara doesn't understand. But before we do that, we'll get into the Imahos as well.
Right.
Says the Ein Karin Imahos El La'arba. We only call 4 women mom. And Rashi, I don't know, but Rashi points out who these 4 are. I mean, Sar, Rivka, Rachel, Leah.
We don't even know the wives of the Shvatim. Do you know the wives of the Shvatim?
Well, that maybe we should.
Okay, who's Reuben's wife? Who's Yehuda? Yehuda had different. He had Tamar. He had
That's a problem. Maybe if we would be calling them mom and whatever, maybe we would know their real names. Shouldn't we know their real names?
Right. Some of the Shvatim, the mother is Yitzchak.
Right.
Exactly. Even have Bila and Zilpah.
Yeah.
Exactly. So they're not pure bloods,
Which could, the question is, well, what do you mean?
So we don't want to insult, because you might possibly insult the ones who are not from the Imos, but from the Shvachos, so that's why we don't call them Avos. Maybe that's probably the reason.
That could be. Let's see what the Gemara says, okay? The Gemara asks the question, my time, why not? Who am I from there? Reuven, I'm from Shimon? I don't know. So how can I say, Reuven, my dad? He's not my father. Maybe I'm not. How do I know, right? Who knows? So therefore, we should not do so. Ihachi im host nami. And you're right, the question is Bill and Zilpah, right?
Right.
which is strange, which is probably why Rashi over there says Sarach Ruach HaMelech, an exclusion of, because maybe when it comes to the four mothers, you would maybe think Leah, Rachel, Bill, and Zilpah. Maybe those are the four which is closest to us. That's maybe why Rashi says that. So if the reason is because we don't know who we come from, and that's the reason why we don't mention the Shvatim, because we're from Reuven and from Shimon, based on that same logic, who says we're from Leah, who says we're from Rachel, and how can we call them both our mothers? That's not true. One of them is, one of them is not, or maybe both of them are not, because we come from Bilhah and Zilpah. So therefore, it doesn't, the word Avos and the word Imahos doesn't necessarily have anything to do with our biological connection to them, but it probably has something, a different spin altogether. And that's what the Gemara says over here. El ad hacha chashivi tve lo chashivi. Up until this point, they are chashuv, whatever that means. More than that, the level of chashivas is not there. The same level of importance is not there. Now, what exactly does this mean? Obviously, the shvatim are very chashuv. So some explain that when it's referring to our avos, because we do find, as you said, throughout the Gemara, there are people that are referred to as father, right? They're Amoroyim, for example, Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara says that Manin hu avos ha'olam, who are the fathers of the world, and the Gemara says Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva are considered avos ha'olam. So we do find elsewhere this idea of avos. But there's a difference, he says, first of all, between Avos Olam and just called Av. Just the word Avos. Furthermore, some explain that this is specifically referring to the Shmon Esrei. It's referring to the Shmon Esrei, the Tefillah. That we do not need to mention more than Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And some ask, what do you mean? So the Gemara says, Sarach Ruach HaLeah. Obviously, we don't have that in our davening. But nonetheless, that's how some people interpret it. So the level of chashivas is there. Less than that is not there. Which, in connection, you can ask the kasha, what does this Gemara have anything to do with the Gemara prior? What's the connection? What's this? So you can say like this. We mentioned already that we do not want to treat an Evan on the same level as a Jew. We don't want to treat them on the same level. Because once we put them on that same level, by lifting up the Evan, we're in turn dropping the Jew, the chashivas of the Jew. It's the same thing by the Avos. We're not saying that the Shvatim are not chashiv. The Shvatim are incredibly chashiv. They're not on the same level. Because by calling them Avos, by lifting them up, what level of chashivas are we giving for the...
Diluting the term Avos.
Exactly. So therefore, by
George Washington,
choosing... By minimizing the amount of people that we give... By having a cap on it to 3 and 4, that continues that title to have some prominence. Let's just get to the two dots. Tani Idach, we learned also in a brace. It says Avadim v'shivchos ein koren osam abba ploni v'ima plonis. We do not call them father. This, which, as Rashi explains, is comparable to be calling Mister and Mrs., which is a nice title. The Shelah Rabbi Gamliel, again, Rabbi Gamliel from our Mishnah, how you karen osam abba ploni v'ima plonis, I masalisto, it's a contradiction, how could he do so? So he said, mishum de chashivi. Because they had chashivas, then we were lenient. Stop here.